Yeah. Amen. Appreciate Brother Dylan Morgan. We've heard him speak many times now, preaching powerfully in the Word of the Lord, directly to the need. Not just a few notes that sound good, but right to the need. I've heard him preach. Thank God. And I'm thankful that he follows the leading of the Holy Ghost. Brother Lee Stone King, an evangelist, needs our prayers. He fell and hurt his back, so we want God to do a work. God bless these evangelists that travel and preach around the country. And Brother Morgan's been preaching around the district. We're very, very thankful for that. Amen. Appreciate him. Now it's my tradition to have the speaker's wife testify. You think I ought to keep my tradition? All right. By popular acclaim, Sister Morgan. They want to hear you testify. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. Again, we appreciate you making the drive down. I know you're turning around and driving back. We'll send you home, though, with some good food in your stomach. I think that's going to be good. Amen. But Brother Morgan has a tremendous heritage. And we're thrilled with what God has been doing with him, however, making tracks in his own right, if I can put it that way. Amen. And so we want him to come share the word of the Lord with us tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless you, Brother Dylan.
Thank you, Brother.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Amen. What an honor it is to be back right here in Sterling. I sure love this place. Amen. Amen. I was telling Jake and Lexi and my wife in Paris, y'all know her. I don't have to act like y'all don't know her on the way here. And I was saying, there's just something special about this church. I genuinely love coming and preaching here. And I give honor to this great body of believers. Amen. Why don't you give yourself a hand for being here? Praise God. Praise God. And I give honor to Brother Churchill. Such an honor to see you. And I thank God for all the work that you have done in the kingdom. And I honor you, sir. He preached not too long ago at Paris and I's home church there in Florida and just brought the word, and the mighty power of the Holy Ghost fell in that place. And he gave us young bucks a run for our money. Amen. Amen. I hope I'm preaching it like he preaches it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I give you honor, Brother Churchill, and then, of course, to Brother and Sister Glover. I just love and appreciate y'all so much. I mean that. Just true Christians, and just an honor to be with you again. Amen. Love y'all so much. Praise God. And next time, I think we'll just have Paris preach, because she just went ahead and stepped right into the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Love her and appreciate her. I say this, and I say it with sincerity. The best gift outside of the Holy Ghost that God ever gave me right there. Amen. Praise God. And she had already said it and kind of took what I was going to say in opening, but there is something happening in the Kenai Peninsula and in Alaska. And I had the blessed opportunity to get to preach in Kenai just a few weeks ago, and as I was flying over the ocean or whatever that is, amen, the peninsula, as I was flying over, the Holy Ghost just moved upon me. And I just feel that there is a stirring taking place. You can feel it when you drive down into this valley. Amen. Over just the last few weeks in Anchorage, we have seen many great miracles take place. We were at the Spanish work there. Thank the Lord for translators, because if I tried to speak in Spanish, it would be pretty horrible. But Man, we had one lady came forward and said that she had recently been in a wreck and her neck was in pain, her back was in pain, and man, we prayed for her and God immediately healed her body. There was a gentleman sitting in the back who has having a hard time breathing, he said he's having a hard time, he's had for a long time with his lungs. We prayed and it was amazing to watch. The moment the Holy Ghost hit him, he just took a big old deep breath and God just released those lungs. There's just something happening in the spirit world right now. I don't know about you, but I'm just not interested in church as usual anymore. Amen. Our pretty sermons aren't going to cut it, and our pretty it's time to have church. It's time to be Book of Acts, and I thank God to be in a place where I feel the Holy Ghost is stirring. Amen. Amen. Well, let's get into the word of the Lord here tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Begin reading at verse number 1. And I'm going to address what I feel would be the thief of the harvest tonight. And I feel like before we're done here, we're going to be able to identify it, break it, and pray against it. And I just feel like God's going to release something in this house. Amen. Amen. I just feel like there's just a mighty work to be done here tonight, and I just want the Holy Ghost to have his way. Is that all right? Yeah, all right? Judges chapter 6 and verse number 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made themselves dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither their sheep nor their ox nor their ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for a multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites and the children of Israel. Verse number 8 says, then the Lord sent a prophet. And when the word of the Lord came forth, something just began to happen. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight on this subject, the spirit of Midian. And that's what we're going to go on tonight, and we're just going to see what the Holy Ghost will do. Would you raise your hands, and would you just ask that heaven would have his way in this room tonight? Lord, I humble myself before you right now. I need your anointing, God. I need your words, God. Move in this house. I pray, God, from the first moment to the closing moments of this service that thy kingdom would come and that your perfect will would be done in this house. I pray, God, that there would be an angelic host released in this room tonight, God. I pray that you would do a mighty work in this house tonight, God. I pray that you would encourage, that you would uplift, that you would deliver, and that you would set free. Let the Spirit of the Lord flow in this house, God. Praise God. I believe the stage is set and God is ready to do a work in this place. If you believe he's going to do a work, would you just clap your hands one more time and would you shout hallelujah? Amen. 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 Praise God. Please be seated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The spirit of Midian is that I have already declared, it is the enemy of the increase. The spirit of Midian is that comes up, right when things are about to be harvested, and it takes the harvest away. Now, it's already been said, and I thank the Lord that my wife prefaced this because we haven't talked about what I've been feeling, but there's a revival trying to take place here. And I want to say this from the last time that I was here, last year, I believe. We were here at the beginning of fall last year. Until now, I do feel just a shift in this church. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is flowing freely in this house. And I thank God for what I'm feeling. Amen. Amen. And I believe that we are in the days that if we really want to have revival, God is going to give His church revival. I just believe that, Brother Churchill. God is ready to give His church revival. Not too long ago, I was preaching somewhere north, south, east, west of here, and I was sitting at a dinner table with a man after a service, and he was informing me of all of the negative things that are taking place because we are in the end times. He was informing me of the Antichrist and that he feels like he's already here. He just hasn't made his debut. And he was informing me of the spirit of Antichrist that is moving. And he was informing me of every little negative thing that is taking place in the world right now. And I do believe the apostle himself said, in the last days there shall be perilous times. Men will be lovers of themselves. They will have itching ears. They don't want to hear truth. They will believe the lie and say the lie is truth. Those are the days of which we are living in. Perilous times, undoubtedly. But also in the midst of the perilous times, a prophet said that in the very same days, he's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And so, yes, I realize there will be perilous times, but I refuse to be caught up in the perilous. I'm going to believe that there will also be powerful times for the apostolic church. This church, we're going to see revival in the midst of perilous times. We're going to see souls saved in the midst of perilous times. Don't get caught up in everything the world is saying right now. Don't get caught up in all of the conspiracy theories. It might all be true. It's not for me to tell. What is for me to tell right now, that God be true and every man a lie. I just believe God's going to have a church, and I'm not going to get caught up and bogged down in the world's negativity. I'm just going to believe God's going to do what God wants to do anyhow. Amen. And the Bible says that it was of these days that they would go and that there would be a time almost of harvest. And right at the time of harvest that this Midian, these thieves of the harvest, that they would come and that they would wear them out. And the Bible says that the children of the Lord made themselves dens and caves and strongholds. It was just a little while ago that the Lord spoke this into my spirit. And as I was reading this text, He said, my church has become a place that is a safe house instead of a storehouse. It's not God's intention for this place just to be a place of safety for the church, but it's God's intention for this place to be a place where people are filled and the people that are harvested come and they can be stored here. This is a storehouse. God's church, as great as it is, we've got to get our eyes off of this just being the place of safety for us to come and to feel good about ourselves and get our Sunday sermon. This has got to get back to being to the place where souls are praying through, where devils are being cast out, where miracles, signs, and wonders are taking place. That's what God desires for the church. Amen. And the Bible says that it was in those days that it was 7 years of this. And what a horrible 7 years it must have been. But you can't look past that it was 7 years, because that word seven is very important all throughout the Bible. It wasn't just seven any old years, but that word seven, it is a perfecting that was really taking place. And when it seems like everything's going wrong and the enemy is coming after you, you've got to flip the script and realize God's really trying to perfect his body. There's a perfecting that is trying to take place in God's church. Everything that has happened is God trying to add a little bit to us and take a little bit away from us and make us into who he wants us to be and shape us into who he wants us to be shaped into. And I love that even though the enemy was coming, that the church never stopped sowing in faith. The Bible said that they still sowed in spite of what was going on. I believe it takes faith to sow even when the world is going crazy. I believe it takes faith to sow when it seems like you may not get an increase. We can't stop spreading the gospel now. We can't stop telling people about the good news of Jesus now. We can't stop sharing this blessed truth. Did he save you? Then he wants to save somebody else. Did he heal you? Then he wants to heal somebody else. Did he deliver you? Then he wants to deliver somebody else. Did he set you free? Then he wants to set somebody else free. We can't stop sowing now. The time more than ever we've got to sow in this season. And the Bible begins to talk about that as the thief of the harvest, the spirit of Midian is what we would call it. I believe that there is a spirit of Midian that is trying to grab a hold of the harvest of the apostolic church. And it's a spirit that has come upon us that every time we sow and we feel like we're right about there, we're right about to the place where God's going to do it, it seems like the enemy comes and takes our harvest away. And the Bible said that when they come, they would destroy the increase of the earth. They said they wouldn't leave anything for the sheep, they wouldn't leave anything for the ox, and they wouldn't leave anything for the donkey. You can't just look past that which was not able to survive in this element, because the sheep is that was required for sacrifice. And there was a spirit that came over them that they felt like they couldn't sacrifice anymore. They couldn't give anymore. They couldn't go any further. I've come today to preach against the spirit of Midian that wants to tell you now's the time to stop sacrificing. No, it's not, sir. No, it's not, ma'am. It's time for us to give like we've never given. It's time for us to pray like we've never prayed. It's time for us to fast like we've never fasted. It's time for us to go like we've never gone. The enemy wants to come and whisper in your ear, you got to stop your sacrifice. You don't have much left to give. That's when you've got to give even more. Come on. We got to get back to the good old-fashioned sacrifice. The fire won't fall unless there's sacrifice, church. We pray for the fire to fall, but any time the fire fell, there was first something that was laid upon the altar. It's time for us to lay some things back on the altar. It's time for us to come back to an old-fashioned altar and die on that thing until our will is no more, till our desires are no more, till we come up like Jesus came up. Nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, but thy will. That's the kind of sacrifice that will unlock apostolic revival. The next thing that they came and they stole from them, which couldn't live in this environment, was the ox. You see, the ox, if you just look over it, you think, well, it's just an ox. But the ox back then, it was of the utmost of importance, because the ox was a strong beast. And when an ox was yoked with another ox, it could break ground that could not be broken. It could tear things up that could not be tore up. It could break open things that in other areas, other animals could not break it open. I've come today to tell you that we've got to get that strength back in ourselves. We've got to come back to that place where we're willing to go back to that ground that you thought would never produce fruit again, that ground that you thought would never live again. You've got to get the spirit of the ox and say, I'm going to break this ground open. I'm going to break it open in prayer. I'm going to break it open in fasting. My Lord.
He wants to come for your strength. He wants to come for that ability to break ground. I feel like tonight that the spirit of Midian's going to be broken, and there's going to be some people that say, I'm going to go knock those doors again. I'm going to go witness to that soil again. I know they told you no 1,000 other times, but why not try one more time? Why not go back one more time? The ground just might be ready now. Hallelujah. Amen. And the last one is something that is very important to the agricultural day of the children of Israel. The donkey was that which had an endurance that no other animal had. The donkey was that had a sure-footedness that no other animal would have. When they wanted something that was sure-footed, that was not quick to stumble, they grabbed the donkey when they got ready for the harvest. The donkey has a stubbornness about them. It has that tenacity that says, Brother Glover, I'm not going to quit until the job is done. The donkey has that stubbornness that says, although things may come against me, I'm not going to stop. It has that will. It has that hunger that says, you're not going to stop me now. We've got to get back to having that will that says, I'm not going to quit now. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Hear me, church. We've come too far to quit now. It's time to get that stubbornness back. Square your shoulders back. Get a little grit back in them teeth and say, I'm not waving the white flag. Marcus Luttrell writes, and he's talking about the Navy SEAL when they enter into Hell Week. He says that there's a little bell that hangs over there. That little bell, if they want out of the situation that they are in, all they got to do is ring the bell. Nobody will say anything. They'll just leave. They're done. They don't have to continue in the training. They don't have to continue on in the thing that they're going through. And one thing that he wrote in his book that blew my mind, he said, if anybody ever got up and made their way towards quit, and they came back. He said they never ever made it through the end of Hell Week. He said because once quit got in their mind, he said they always had quit as an option. I'm here today to tell you we've got to remove that quit option. Quit is not an option anymore. Throwing in the towel is not an option, sir. Quitting now is not an option, ma'am. Now more than ever, we've got to want this. We've got to get our endurance back. We've got to get our strength back. We've got to get our stubbornness back. You're not going to get me to quit. You're not going to. My Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Churchill, I know you've been traveling and you've probably seen it as well, but it seems like this generation just doesn't have the stay-with-itness that previous generations had. When it gets hard, we just want to throw in the towel. No way, no how. We got to get that grit back in our teeth. When old COVID came in, people found an easy way out. It's ready for them to come back. It's time for us to quit looking for the easy route. It's time for us to quit looking for the easy way out, the way to bypass the hard route. Sometimes it takes the hard route to get what God wants you to have. Sometimes you've just got to bare your shoulders back. Sometimes you've just got to carry the weight of glory. Sometimes you've just got to grit those teeth. You've got to close those eyes and say, I'm not going to stop until it happens. I'm not going to quit until it breaks. I'm not going to slow down until I see it.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. The next thing the Bible says about the spirit of Midian is that they came up as grasshoppers. It says it couldn't even be numbered. It says a big one. Because I have seen this especially in my travels, and I feel this spirit, this overwhelming sensation that we're never going to be enough to do what God wants us to do. I feel the sensation of overwhelmingness. People feel like there's no way we can do it. We'll never be enough. Do you see what we're up against now? Do you see the calamity that we're up against now? Do you see the chaos that we're up against now? Do you see what's going on in our world now? You mean to tell me we're going to do it now? You best believe we're going to do it now. I'm here today to tell somebody that if God be for you, nobody can be against you. It is in 2 Corinthians. The Bible says, God is our sufficiency. You don't have to be sufficient unto yourself. God's not looking to you for you to be sufficient. God's looking at you for you to be willing. And if you're willing, He will be sufficient. We've got to stop measuring the cost. We've just got to understand you plus God is enough. You plus God is enough for this city. You plus God is enough for apostolic revival. You plus God is enough for anything that is happening in this world. God's always just looked for willingness. I'm here today to tell you it's time to rid yourself of that spirit of I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do it. You can have it. You can see it.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The Bible says they were greatly impoverished. They felt like that they didn't have anything going for them. But then God sent somebody with a word from God. Thank God that He still has men that are willing to declare what thus saith the word of the Lord. Don't fetter the pulpit, church. Let the preacher preach. Let your pastor say what he needs to say, how he needs to say it. Praise God. You know, I don't need a medal, but I'm going to medal just a little bit. I have asked youth pastors. I have asked them. I said, really, what's the biggest issue that you see, or one of the biggest issues? He said, you know, you'd be surprised, Dylan. One of the biggest issues is actually the parents. I said, really? He said, yeah, because when the pastor or the youth pastor tries to correct them according to the word, the parent gets upset and it causes a dysfunction between the pulpit and the person in the pew. We've got to allow the free flowing of the no again. Your pastor ought to be able to tell you no, and that's enough. He ought to be telling you yes, and that's enough. He ought to be able to say, that's really not wise right now, and that still be the final statement. He's a watchman on the wall. He can see what you can't see. He knows what you don't know. He can see what, my Lord, there's a horizon He can look into that you'll never be able to see.
Praise God. And God sent a man of God with a word. And the Bible says that He found one person by the name of Gideon. And He called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And it's funny because Gideon says, well, I'm the least of my family, which is the least of Israel. There's that spirit of I'm not able to do what God's called me to do. But what really God was trying to show Gideon is, I just need a willing vessel. God just needs somebody in this place to offer themselves up as willing to go, willing to do. And if you're willing, He's able. If you're willing, God's able. We've got to get back to the old. It's not about the four core doing it and nobody else doing it. We've got to get back to the church getting underneath the weight of revival together. It can't just be the pastor and the pastor's family. It can't just be the faithful few carrying the load. We got to get back to the place where people are invested in the move of God, where people are invested in the work of God, where people are wanting to see it happen. How can I help, Pastor? What can I do, Pastor? How can I be of assistance? Where can I pick up the slack? And that's where that spirit of insignificance has got to leave, and insecurity has to leave. But Gideon asked the same question that most of us ask. If it's really the time for it to happen, preacher, then where are the miracles? That's what Gideon asked God, right? So then where are the miracles? Verse number 13, he literally says, and Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, is the Lord be with us? Why then is all this befallen us? And where are the miracles which our fathers told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And watch, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in thy might. You got to look at that. God doesn't even acknowledge that the miracles weren't happening anymore. God shows Gideon the formula for us to have miracles. The way we're going to have miracles again is when we stop looking for the miracles to happen and we get back to going. Miracles happen when you get to work. Miracles happen when you get out in the harvest field. Miracles happen when you get back to the going. We've got to get back to go. Go. I love what the Lord says. He says, go in thy might. But he just said, I don't have anything to offer. Whatever you got is enough. I said, what you got, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Stop looking around and saying, we don't have what it takes. We don't have enough. What you got is where it's got to start. Release yourself and go in the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody lift your hands. God's trying to break a mindset right now. Come on, lift your voices just for a little while longer. Go in thy might. You know, we all like to condemn Peter when he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water and he gets a little distracted by, you know, the storm that's happening. We all like to condemn him for the fact that he took his eyes off of Jesus for a millisecond and sinks down. And we all like to say, oh, see, God rebuked Peter, oh, thou of little faith. No, you need to think about that logically. That means little faith walked on water. Brother Glover, we like to condemn the man who shows us that if you've just got a little bit, God will take your little bit and you'll do things you never thought. Things that will defy the law of nature. Things that will defy the law of gravity. Things that will defy everything Newton ever written about force and inertia. According to the law of Newton, whatever Peter weighed, when the force was put down on the water, there has to be an equal opposite force pressing back against him. Water does not have that ability. The reason we are able to stand is because when my foot goes down, there is an equal opposite force that allows me to. Water doesn't have that. It is insufficient for a foundation. But God says, you give me somebody with just a little bit of faith. You give me somebody that just has a little bit of belief that God's going to do something. And he'll do what nobody else is doing. He'll go where nobody else. I wish somebody in this place would loosen. Preacher, I just got a little bit of faith. Preacher, I don't know if I can be used. Preacher, I don't know if I can be apostolic. That's a great place to start.
Mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, continue in that just for a little bit. Something's happening right now. Gideon says, Lord, how in the world am I going to save Israel? That's the question a lot of us have asked. How are we going to win this city? I feel it. I feel the questions have been asked. Lord, how are we going to do this? Lord, how is this going to happen? And the Lord, again, just ignores him in his doubt and negativity and says, surely I'm going with you. And see, that doesn't make you shout until you really slow down and think about it. A lot of us are wondering, where in the world is God? God's saying, I'm in the going. God's waiting for somebody to get going so he can get going with you. You want God to go with you. He can't go with you until you go. You want God to provide. He can't provide until you get out and do something where you have a need.
My Lord. My God, help me tonight.
We have made miracles. We have made miracles. The little dance of the monkey. Like we're in a circus. Lord, do a miracle. Let us see something great here tonight. And nobody prays. They just stare at the preacher saying, let's see if God's going to do it tonight. I've seen it. You've seen it. You've seen it. They just stand and they wait on the performance to take place. Perform for us, God. That was never God's intentions with the miraculous. These signs shall what? They're in the going. It's not in the stagnation. It's not in the comfort. It's not in the ease. When you want to see the miraculous hand of God show up, get out and start going. And God will go with you. I will be with thee. Pentecostals of Sterling, I will be with thee. God's going with you. When you leave this place tonight, I don't want you to leave this place thinking you're leaving this place in your own might. I want you to leave this place thinking I'm going to go with God. And the next time I step out in the street and I feel a prompting of the Holy Ghost, I'm going with God. And the next time I feel like I'm insufficient, I'm going to realize God's with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me?
Gideon says, God, if it's really you, if it's really you, and I'm really seeing an angel of the Lord, he tells the angel, he says, stay here for a little bit. I'm going to make you an offering. And Gideon goes, and the Bible says that he gets an ephah of flour. Now, an ephah of flour is very specific because that's 36 pounds of flour. That's a lot of flour. And it may not seem like a lot of flour until you put the 36 pounds of future bread into the perspective of the enemy has come stealing everything from them and there's no increase. And so 36 pounds of flour could have very well been the reserve that he had left. It could have very well been the little bit his family was storing up. And so really what Gideon was doing, because a sin offering is a tenth of an ephah of flour. So it's 3.6 pounds of flour. That would have been adequate for the sin. But this wasn't a sin offering. This was a showing of, I've got so much confidence that God's about to remove Midian. And we're going to have a harvest. And we're going to see an increase. I'm going to take my little that I've got hidden. And I'm going to give it to God. And if I give it to God, my Lord have mercy. He set it on the rock. Don't miss that. The rock is Christ. When you give it to Jesus, Jesus can't help but multiply it. You can't miss the multiplication of the rock. And I feel the Holy Ghost. He puts it on the rock. And the angel says, I like this. And touches it with his staff. And fire comes down. And that fire allowed the heavens to open. And see, this is just how my brain works. The angel went up because of the fire. And so if angels can ascend, that means angels can also descend. And if we want heavenly things ascending and descending in our life, then we've got to quit being hoarders of what we got and start releasing in faith that God's really going to do what God said he's going to do. Brother Glover, God's wanting to do it, but he can't do it until we release. Come on, the Holy Ghost is stirring somebody right now.
Oh, Rasha la Baha. Ah.
I don't know how long I've been preaching, but I'm going to preach a little longer. Something's about to, I feel we are about to break something in the supernatural. We're going to tear up this mindset of it's our four and no more. We're going to tear up this mindset of if I don't have this in reserve, then I won't have anything to fall back on in my prayer closet. I won't have any faith for my need. I won't have any energy left for what God wants me to do. That is not the principle of the heavenly. When the children of Israel are hearing the promises of what God's going to do in Canaan, he says it's a land flowing with milk and honey, right? I can only imagine that when they crossed over, that them dudes started running around looking for rivers of milk. I would love it for my Nutter Butters. A fresh stream of milk for Oreos and hot fresh baked cookies. Peanut butter Captain Crunch at any time that I wanted it. And then all the tea drinkers will run into the river of honey. All the singers, this is going to be good for my throat. But meanwhile, what God was teaching the people is, it's not going to be there like you think it's going to be there. What's going to be there are cows. And what's going to be there are bees. And we run around looking for God to send the stream of milk and honey. And God's standing up in heaven saying, I provided it out in the wilderness. I brought you here to this moment so that you would erase the mindset of consumerism. Because it's the mindset of consumerism that has befaulted the American culture. We're consumers here in America, sister. That's all we do. We consume. We see a commercial for a new iPhone with an extra megapixel and another 30 minutes of battery, and we all got to have it. Oh, the selfies it will take. We're consumers, and it's bled into the church. We come to church and we say, move me. We come to church and we say, let's hear what the preacher's going to preach. If he don't have a new revelation, I'm probably not going to cultivate anything in this service. And we come to church saying, let's see if something's going to change. Change me, preacher. Meanwhile, God's saying, I brought you out of Egypt where you had to rely on the flesh pot. I brought you out of the wilderness where you had to wait for it to come down. And I brought you to a land where it was plenteous. Not so that you could continue to consume, but so that you could learn how to produce a flow. There's a flow God's calling you to produce in this house. There's a flow of the Spirit that ought to leave your home. There's a flow of the Spirit that ought to leave your job. There's a flow of the Spirit that ought to flow out of this house. It needs to be flowing when you get here. It needs to be flowing. I wish somebody would say, loose the flow in my life. Loose the flow. That's flow. That's flow right there. Don't wait on the preacher. Flow. Flow in the Spirit. Flow in the Holy Ghost. Come on, flow in the Holy Ghost. Flow in the Holy Ghost. There's a flow in this house right now. Why don't you step into the flow? Why don't you become a current? Why don't you become some rivers of living water? Oh, There's about to be miracles take place in this house right now. I said there's about to be miracles, physical miracles, and we're about to pray against the spirit of the thief of the harvest named Midian. And we're going to tear this thing down in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is apostolic right now. Flow in this house.